Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Truth and Justice. I'm your host, Bob Ruff, and I want to thank you for downloading this special edition bonus episode. The reason that I'm putting this bonus episode out is because after all of the events of last week involving the Carrie Max Cook case, I needed some time to really decompress and really absorb everything that had happened. I know that all of you who are loyal listeners and also loyal supporters of this movement have been waiting and waiting all week for me to give the marching orders and tell you all what the plan is. The reason that I haven't done that is because I didn't know what the best course of action would be. I didn't want to jump the gun or go off half-cocked. This is the most complex situation that I've encountered yet since I've been doing the show. And I want to take this time to explain to you why I had such a conflict. Over the past several months, I've gotten to know Carrie Max Cook. I've gotten to know him really well. And the Carrie Cook that I know is a very kind, loving, and loyal person. And he's a selfless person. And more importantly, Carrie has always been a uniter and not a divider. So last week, when Carrie went public and fired his attorneys, it just wasn't adding up to me. That just wasn't the Carrie that I know. And like I said last week, I understand why Carrie did what he did, but this just isn't a black and white issue. Because while I do understand Carrie's reaction, and as I said before, because I know him and because I know that he is innocent, I will stand behind him no matter what direction he goes. But this was a conflict for me too, because I also know the Innocence Project. I'm very familiar with their work. I've worked hand in hand with them as I've been investigating these cases in Smith County. They've been there for me for support, for advice, and now they've even provided an attorney for Edward Ates, and they are actively working towards his exoneration. And what I've been seeing on social media is that the knee-jerk reaction for everyone was to fire away at the Innocence Project. They've been accused of being a part of the Smith County corruption and being in bed with the DA's office. And I'm sure a lot of you who have been posting these things have noticed that I haven't responded or reacted to that. And it wasn't because I thought you were wrong. It was because I just didn't know what to think. So I really took a lot of time and put a lot of thought into this. And I've been in constant communication with Carrie since then. And for me, what it came down to is a matter of perspective. There is no right or wrong answer here. There is no black or white. If you look at this situation through the eyes of everyone involved, and consider their perspective, you can see why everyone did what they did. So I thought about the lawyers from the Innocence Project and tried to think, why would they do what they did? Why would they make a deal with Matt Bingham? There's no real motive for them. They don't benefit. They're not charging Carrie for their work. And if he's exonerated, they don't get a piece of the settlement or anything like that. But when I really thought it through, what it boiled down to for me is that the lawyers from the Innocence Project were doing what the Innocence Project does, and that's get exonerations. Free the wrongfully convicted. Their fight might not have looked like the fight that I was expecting, but it was a battle nonetheless. If you remember back a few episodes ago when Jeff Descovich was on the show with William Hoggy, who he had just helped work to negotiate the exoneration, I went back and listened to that episode. I listened to Jeff's words, and I listened to my own. And the reason that that exoneration was successful and that it happened so quickly was because instead of banging against and fighting against the prosecutor's office, Jeff worked with the prosecutor, and the prosecutor was willing to do the same. And as Jeff and I both said in that episode, that is the fastest, most efficient way to exoneration. So Gary and Nina of the Innocence Project were doing what the Innocence Project does. They were trying to secure an exoneration for their client. That is their job. And they managed to successfully break down the barrier of Smith County and get Matt Bingham to work with them. So I thought from their perspective, that was the best course of action for Carrie. And that's when I realized that because of all the cases that I've worked in Smith County, and the time I've spent there, and the obstacles that I've come across, I have to admit that I've become biased against that DA's office. And I'm not excusing anything that they've done in the past. But because of the past, I was refusing to believe what was happening in the present. And we can speculate about what the motivations were, but I have to humbly admit that if I honestly look at this from Matt Bingham's perspective, I can see that he was actually doing the right thing. He knows Kerry Max Cook is innocent, and he was willing to work with his attorneys and agree to set his conviction aside. And I believe that by that June 29th hearing, we would have seen him agree to drop the charges, and Kerry would be fully exonerated on actual innocence grounds. It's the only move that would have made sense for Matt Bingham. Now, in the process, he did negotiate dropping all of the prosecutorial misconduct charges. And if I consider that with my brain, it makes perfect sense. This is not an issue that is independent of Smith County. Any prosecutor's office in a situation like this or similar to this or anything like this is absolutely going to do what they can do to try to save face in the situation. Forget Smith County for a minute and think about any district attorney's office, anyone who's been wrongfully convicted. For that prosecutor's office to stand up in open court and agree that this person has been wrongfully convicted, they are admitting that their office made a mistake, a grave mistake. They sent somebody away to prison wrongfully. So anytime you have a wrongful conviction like this, what you're asking a prosecutor to do is to admit publicly that they made a mistake that ruined a person's life. In any prosecutor's office anywhere in the country is going to do their best to do damage control and to attempt to minimize the impact it has on their office. All of you listening know me, and you know me well, and you know that I'll tell it like it is. And if someone gives me a reason to do so, I will attack. I have done it, and I will continue to do it. But at the same time, it would be disingenuous of me to not acknowledge when someone is doing something right. And so when I really look at this situation through that lens, I can understand why the Innocence Project did what they did. And I can even understand why the Smith County DA's office and Matt Bingham did what they did. But I can also understand why Kerry Max Cook reacted in the way that he did. Because he is a human being. He is a human being who has suffered more than most can ever imagine over a 40-year period. He has always maintained his innocence, and he's always been a fighter. And after that deal was made, and the public that has supported him for all these years were up in arms about it, I could see how that could break a man's spirit. And that's exactly what I thought I witnessed in Kerry Max Cook. I knew that what I'd been seeing for the last several days was not the Kerry Max Cook that I know. And as we've kept in daily contact, I've seen over time the emotions start to come down and Kerry start to return to his normal self. We spoke yesterday, and Kerry asked me if I would be willing to have him on the show so he could explain everything that happened in his own words. And as I've always promised to do for Kerry, I told him that I would give him his voice. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to Kerry Max Cook. All right, I'm here today with Kerry Max Cook. You all know from listening to the episode last week and following along online the ordeal that Kerry's gone through in the last week or so after his actual innocence hearing last week. And Kerry and I have been talking a lot, and he's agreed to come on the show today, and he wants to make a statement, and we're going to do a short interview here and let Kerry explain in his own words what was going on, what's happened over the last week, and where he's at today. So first of all, thanks for taking the time to come on the show today, Kerry. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Bob. And I want to shout out to all the Bob Ruff Truth and Justice Army out there that I see on Twitter all the time and on my Facebook. And I want to thank all of them that have been following my case, supporting me. People have made kind donations towards me and my defense. And there's just are no words for that, the gratitude. So for those of you who have done that, let me say, I don't know how to use the application to write back and say thank you. So can I say thank you to Bob right now?
You just did.
All right.
Last week, as everyone knows, you went into your actual innocence hearing And your attorneys with the Innocence Project of Texas and the Innocence Project of New York had negotiated a deal with the Smith County DA's office. And all my listeners are aware of the deal, but a quick recap is that the state conceded on ground five, which was that James Mayfield made false testimony in all of your cases, which was a violation of your due process. They set your conviction aside for that. In exchange, your side, your attorneys dropped six of the other charges, which were all the ones that really had to do with prosecutorial misconduct, and left you only with the actual innocence ground one, which is to be heard by the judge on the 29th. Which,
correct.
Okay. And so after that happened, it was kind of, everyone was kind of in shock, myself included. And we know that a few days went by and about Wednesday, it was Wednesday night, right? When you started sending out the emails and you fired your attorneys and made it known that you weren't in agreement with the deal. That was Wednesday?
Yes. If you say it's Wednesday, I have to agree. I was so upset that I don't remember the day. Sorry.
Right. Okay. So, So the first thing that I want to do is, can you kind of explain what led you to do that? What happened during those 2 days from the day of the hearing to where you started sending out the emails and posting on Facebook and all these things, firing your attorneys? What went on with you, you know, either emotionally, mentally, everything? What went on that led you to that point?
Well, Bob, what's made it so painful, and the reason when, you know, you asked me about Wednesday, I said, you know, I'll take your word for it. I don't remember. I was so emotionally distraught. The closest I can come to explaining the depth of that emotion that pushed me that far, that hard, was like losing a loved one. Nina Morrison and Gary Udishin, they were family to me for a long time, 4 years, very close relationship, Nina and I and Gary, very close. Friends too, you know, colleagues. They loved me. Gary loved me. Nina Morrison loved me time and time again with nearly tears in her eyes. Nina would look over at me and say, Gary, look what you've gone through. Look what they put you through. I just want to get you exonerated. Will you let me do that? Yeah, Nina, but you know, I'm not going to sell out. I won't sell out. You know, I know, Gary, this is not just about me, Nina. It's about others. It's not about the money. It's about others and exposing Smith County so they can't do it to anybody else. And they understood all that. That's one of the reasons they respected me and loved me so much. This wasn't about, this was kind of a painful break in a family. So I was willing to give it all up. I was willing to lose with the truth and accept the lie. I was willing to lose actual innocence because it never was about money. Nina Morrison and Gary Udishin's reasons were complete innocence. They knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was actually innocent, that I'd been buried under 40 years of Smith County prosecutorial misconduct. And Nina Morrison and Gary Udishin wanted me to be free of a wrongful conviction at all costs. I'll never forget when Gary Udishin came from the April 5th Houston meeting with Matt Bingham, Buck Files, James Mayfield, Bruce Anton, and Gary Udishin interviewing James Mayfield, the real killer in this case. He came back stunned. Gary is a man of few words, very stoic, extremely smart, but he came back shocked, shell shocked. And he told me, he said, Gary, no one, including Matt Bingham, no one can sit in that 40-minute interview with James Mayfield and not know beyond a shadow of a doubt he killed that girl and that you're innocent. And then he had said after that Matt Bingham stopped saying that I was guilty anymore after that. But anyway, I think Matt Bingham knew I was innocent, and there was a great liability in the balance because of that. And so it had to be sanitized in a way that he could protect the county. And so Nina Morrison and Gary Udishin knew that the best path to exoneration would come through Matt Bingham's help.
Yeah, and that was kind of, and I'm sure you heard, you know, when I did the episode on the podcast last week, that, you know, where I was a little bit torn because I could see their perspective there. I could see, you know, the Innocence Project and Gary and Nina and, you know, your attorneys working with them, their focus is to get that exoneration. That's what they're trying to do. And I think that it seems to me that it was a matter of perspective where for you, it was about the exoneration, but not necessarily all about the exoneration, that you wanted accountability and you wanted people to account for the things that they had done to you over the years. And that's not wrong either. I don't see that. I understand 100% why. And I can also see why they felt
one
the
other
way.
Thing, Bob. Bob, if I can, let me interrupt you because I think it's important and it's worth it because this gets missed. But you have to understand me too. And so let me say this to you. It wasn't just those things, what you said. It was about accountability and all that. But also, not just for the wrongs done to me. Let me make this clear. You know, I've always said this, what I'm going to tell you. My book was written because of it, Chasing Justice. It wasn't just about me. It wasn't about money either. It was about people like me. If I sold out, if I don't stand up, this has gotten bigger than me. This has been bigger than me for 30 years. And so I had to stand up for everybody at great sacrifice, even if it meant losing, because of the injustices to those people who were voiceless, powerless, and penniless. Here I had the greatest opportunity, the Innocence Project of New York, Barry Scheck himself, Gary Udishin, president of IPOD, all fighting for me innocent. And I thought, when this is over, we'll be able to help the people that didn't get heard, the people that are missing. And that's what this was about, too. Not just accountability, but accountability that led into an investigation to help people who are actually innocent, not just me. Not only me.
Right. And you've told me that on the phone when we've spoken for months, that it was never just about you, and it was about helping everybody else. And and you're just an honorable guy, and it's an admirable thing. And so all of that, and for all of you listening, so you kind of get an understanding of why Kerry got to the point where he was done. He was mad, and he wanted to do away with the Innocence Project and go back and fight. So that, am I describing that accurately, Kerry? As far as that's how you got to that point on Wednesday.
Yes, it was really, really hard. I read that Smith County Justice corruption site posting about my lawyers thought I had posted it, and I didn't, of course, but someone had posted that basically the deal was to protect David Dobbs and Jack Skeens. The Innocence Project had gone along with that, and you know, but the only thing missing is that they went along with it because they were just trying to exonerate me. I understand that, but that I saw how that was being portrayed. And then I saw all the faces, the people, the things we're talking about. It's not just about me. It's about those like me. And they're out there, whether black, whether homosexual, whether they're, doesn't matter. Most of the cases, they're just poor. That's how they get railroaded in Smith County. They're just poor. But anyway, and I felt like I had betrayed everyone. Even look, I haven't shared this with you before, but there are at least four people on death row, I believe, were executed innocent. And, you know, you look at my record, you look at my book, Anthony Graves is the only story I helped and got involved with, and he was exonerated. So that shows you how careful and smart and how meticulous I am when I hear someone say they're innocent and want my help. Anthony Graves is the only story I helped. But I know, therefore, laying that predicate, I know at least four people died innocent. Better men than me. And they're dead. And they were innocent. What was their crime? Poor. Money. That's who decides. The color of injustice in Smith County is green, the color of money. Either you have it or you don't. Saks Fifth Avenue justice for Joel Baker. Walmart justice for Kerry Cook and Apes.
Yeah, and that's why I couldn't disagree with what you did. You know, and I've been torn. Because from my perspective, too, I couldn't really disagree with what the Innocence Project, and namely Gary and Nina, were trying to do. Now, since last week, and I know the emotions have started to come back down, and you're ready to move forward now. I mean, do you?
We've made up. We've made up. I've made up with Gary and Nina. Too much love between us. We share too many of the same goals, the same aspirations for the innocent in America. We made up. I sent them a private letter of apology, and I told them that we just had a different way, that I was willing to fight for this. I was willing to lose. They weren't willing to let me lose, but I'm willing to lose for the truth. I'm willing to lose for accountability. And they loved me and just wanted me to be free of this wrongful conviction and 40 years of Smith County persecution. So we made up and we just agreed that they can't represent, I don't want them to represent me, and that's done. We can't go back and fix that. But they've offered to help me with any lawyer I get. They want to still work and help the lawyer in any way they can because they know how bad this injustice is.
And I'm glad to hear that even as kind of ugly things got last week, that you guys were able to reconcile that, and that I was really glad to hear too that they're still willing to help you out and move forward with you, because you know the Innocence Project it's an organization that I have a lot of respect for. I think they do good work. I think they do great work, and as you know now, they're even helping. You know, they've taken on Edward Eight's case as well. And so I was really glad to hear when you told me that, you know, that you guys were able to kind of make up and that they're helping you move forward. I mean, as far as the organization in general, do you have any ill will towards the Innocence Project through all of this?
No, not at all. You know, just unfortunately, the same power and authority, one-sided power and authority of the Smith County District Attorney's Office also exists in places like Orange County, Chicago. I mean, it exists everywhere. It's pandemic to wrongful convictions, that power that corrupts. So the Innocence Project is the only thing between a lifetime of heartache in prison or the execution chamber. They save people's lives. They literally, physically save people's lives. I have nothing but love and respect for that. And I don't want that to get turned against them. I was hurt. I felt betrayed because I know they loved me and wanted to save me from a wrongful conviction, but I wanted to fight, not because I was being foolish, stupid, or wanted to punish these unlawful prosecutors. No, because I wanted to hold these prosecutors accountable so that people would see when someone else says they're innocent out of Smith County, people will listen.
Moving forward from here, as of right now, you still have the hearing date set for the 29th. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. And you had copied me in an email at one point that you had also copied some of the local media in Tyler on it. They of course didn't report on it, but you had made an offer to sit down with Matt Bingham. I believe you even said even without a lawyer, and talk to him about your case. And I was pretty moved by that, and I don't know why. I know it's the type of thing that you would be willing to do. And for me, my hope is that I want to believe in my heart of hearts that what Matt Bingham is portraying here, which is that he's trying to make a turn in the Smith County DA's office. I mean, we all know everything that's happened, all the corruption in that DA's office that's happened up to this point. But my hope is that he's really, really trying to make that turn and to make a difference and to make a change and actually work with someone who he believes is actually innocent. And I believe that Matt Bingham knows that you're innocent. I know that for sure. And I want to see going forward if he's willing to take you up on that offer. You know, he was willing to work with your defense team. And he was willing to work with you. And I have no doubt that moving forward into that hearing on the 29th, that Matt Bingham was going to eventually drop the charges against you. And
well, here's what I'd like to do. And I think this is important because this is like Daniel walking into the lion's den with these people. To make such an offer would certify me as a madman, because they're so bad. They're so dangerous, and there's so many tricks waiting for me there. The entire staff, all past, present, and future prosecutors, A.D. Clark, all the former prosecutors from 78 retired, they'll all be there, and I know that. And I'm still not afraid, because guess what? I'm standing on the bedrock of truth, so that doesn't... I really mean it. I'm not scared at all. I'm not afraid at all. I'd meet David Dobbs anywhere to talk about this case with the cameras running, and I don't care, because I'm not afraid of the truth. This should have been dropped. I should have been exonerated 40 years ago. I never should have been arrested. But here's the thing. This is what I would like to do. You're right. That's worth exploring. I don't think it's ever been done. So I'd like to meet with Matt Bingham and David Dobbs in the DA's office. I'll go to the Smith County DA's office in New Jersey, so they can't claim I'm hiding behind a lawyer. It's all about money. I'm just lying to anti-death penalty celebrities. All this all this stuff that they say, that that's what set me off and pushed me over the edge too, because the end of this project, you know, I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to tell people, and they wouldn't let me. And it was building, building, building. But I will do that. I want to do that. But the only thing I ask, the only protection I have to have, I won't take a lawyer, but Bob Ruff gets to record it. Bob Ruff gets to not miss a word of it, so nothing, so it can be fully transparent. If I get hurt in a bad way and whatever, and it looks good for the state, okay, so be it. That's the truth. But by God, if I'm able to show overwhelmingly how innocent I really am, buried under misconduct, and let that speak the truth too. And Matt Bingham, join me in unopposing actual innocence, even without a lawyer, because guess what? The truth should matter more than anything, and it does it to Smith County, but you got a chance to break the long history of Smith County prosecutors, and for legacy, for history, you can do that. Let's me and you sit down and talk. Me, you, and David Dobbs, too. Jack Skeens, for that matter. I don't care. Put them there. Line up your questions. Let's make a deal where you get to ask 10 or 15 or 20. I get to ask 10, 15, or 20. Bob Ruff records it all.
Well, I'm certainly willing to do that. If that's something they're willing to do, then I'll certainly get on a plane and go ahead and record it. But let me ask you this in closing, Kerry, and it sounds like you already answered it.
Sure.
But just to be clear.
Sure.
If Matt Bingham were to approach you and say that he's still willing to work with you, and through that he sees your innocence and was willing to drop the charges in the interest of real truth and justice, if Matt Bingham was willing to do that, would you be able to bring yourself to shake the man's hand and go into court and put an end to this?
Of course I'd be willing to shake Matt Bingham's hand and put an end to this. You know, I'll tell you something. Gary Udishin told me many times he liked Matt Bingham. He said he was a really nice guy, Kerry. And, you know, the things that we've been given, Matt Bingham opened up some boxes and let Gary get to that. I know, I understand his dilemma with Dobbs and Skeens in the county, but you know, if he's willing to, we can meet halfway. This isn't about money. In fact, listen, I tell him this. It's just for actual innocence. I'll waive the compensation. I won't take compensation. If he'll agree to not oppose actual innocence, that's all I want. That's all I want is to finally be told what happened to me. I'm innocent. For Doyle Wayne, for my mama, for my daddy, for everyone who's ever suffered an injustice. If he'll just do that, keep the money. Keep every penny of it. I don't want it. I just want to be free. I want to be restored to the place I was before this ever happened to me. Innocent.
That, my friends, is who my friend Kerry Max Cook really is. And what a powerful statement. I had no idea before we did this interview what Kerry was going to say. And in fact, after I recorded the interview, I even called him back to make sure that he wanted me to include his last statement in the show. And he assured me that he means what he says. He's not looking for a settlement. He doesn't want the money. If Matt Bingham is still willing to sit down and talk to him and continue to work with him as he was doing when Gary and Nina were still on his case, and if he can convince Bingham that he is indeed actually innocent and Bingham will get behind dropping the charges in his case, that Kerry will forfeit all of the compensation that's due to him from the state of Texas. All the man wants is to be free. Many of you have been asking me what we can do for Kerry. But the fact is, right now, there's not much we can do. Because, Mr. Bingham, the ball is in your court now. You went into that hearing on Monday, June 6, and you asked that judge to set Kerry's conviction aside. And you worked with his attorneys because you know the facts of the case, and you believe that that was the right thing to do. Well, Kerry might have pissed you off last week, but this isn't about emotions. We're talking about a man's life. And emotions have nothing to do with it. The facts of this case have not changed since last Monday. It's still the same case, the same evidence, and the same man who's had 40 years of his life stolen away from him. So as I said, the ball's in your court. So what are you going to do next? Shortly after Kerry and I finished recording this interview, NBC ran a story and they tweeted it out that Kerry wants the judge to null and void the agreement from last week, and he wants to go through with a full hearing. And Kerry wanted me to make clear to everyone that that's not how he feels. He acted last week out of emotions, and I think all of us can understand why he was feeling that way. You all just heard how Kerry really feels about this case. And also, lots of you have been asking me how you can contribute or donate money to Kerry. There is a PayPal account set up to contribute to Kerry's cause, but Kerry wanted me to make sure that all of you know that this is not a legal fund. He doesn't know what his situation is right now with an attorney. He doesn't know if he's going to find an attorney to work for him, and if he does, if he'll be charged or if it will be pro bono, and he doesn't want to take any money on false pretenses. Kerry can certainly use the help. The situation that he's in financially, even making the trips back and forth to Texas, are taxing on his family. So if you do want to contribute to Kerry to help him out with any of his expenses, you can go to paypal.me/KerryMaxCook2016. That's paypal.me/KerryMaxCook2016. I know a lot of you have already been doing that, and I'll go ahead and post that on the Facebook page and my Twitter feed as well. And before I go, as always, I want to make sure I thank Johnny Rose and Tate Krupa, and thank all of you for sticking with this and for your continued support of this movement and for Kerry Max Cook. Stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, I'm signing off. I'm Bob Ruff, and this has been Truth and Justice.